Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
We welcome you to our service today. We thank you for coming, and for all those that will be listening here, there, and yonder, we appreciate you joining with us in our program of Let the Bible Speak. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee this day. We thank Thee for Thy sovereign power. We thank Thee that our God rules and reigns and creates all things. We bow humbly at Thy feet. We thank Thee for our Savior today, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank that there's only one mediator between God and man, the Savior. Bless us today. Bless Thy word to our hearts and speak to us, Lord. And give us a desire for eternal things. Give us a desire to live one day with Thee in heaven, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to read some verses from the last book of the Bible, Revelations chapter 22. And we're reading from verse 6 down to the end of verse 17. Revelations chapter 22 and verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren the prophets. And of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. We're going to sing that lovely old hymn, Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Revelation is the last book of the Bible, and it's the conclusion of God's Word. We must take the Word of God, the written Word of God, and we must have it for our spiritual food. This book is for everyone to read. In fact, in the last book of the Bible, in chapter 1, verse 3, it says, Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy. There's a blessing in reading the last book of the Bible. Some people say, well, it's so hard to understand. I have read parts of it, they say, and we can't understand it. Well, an old preacher once time said, you read the book of the Revelation like eating fish. You enjoy the bits you understand, and you set aside the hard pieces for another day. The Bible is to be a lamp under our feet and a light under our path in this dark world, this old world that's getting darker. Year by year, it's getting darker. We're heading for the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're heading to the conclusion of all things. In a dark night, you need a lamp. You need a light. The lamp and the light is God's Word. A lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This chapter, or this book of Revelation in chapter 1, it tells us it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. So if you get the idea of Christ in the book, the theme of the book is Christ, then you can read it and understand it a lot better. Now, there's lots of things in the book of the Revelation. You read about heaven. It's wonderful to read about heaven. If you were going on a holiday, you would read about where you're going and all the scenery and the things and the food and so forth. We want to be in heaven one day. Who will be in heaven? God's children will be in heaven. God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit of God will be in heaven. All the holy angels will be there. God's family will be brought home from the north, south, east, and west. The born-again believers, the saved. There's going to be the marriage of the Lamb in heaven. Heaven's going to be a city. Heaven's going to be for the citizens drawn home to glory. The golden streets, the river of pure water, the temple, a place where there's no night, no sickness, no pain, no sorrow, no death. Going to be no sin in heaven. All of God's children will be there. We'll have a new spiritual body. A new eternal body. This old body will be laid aside. But how do we get to heaven? You see, this is the theme of Revelation. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by his Son. Our Savior. The Savior is the theme of the book. In the final chapter in Revelation, we come to the conclusion of this book. And in this final chapter, we come across a word, come, C-O-M-E. It appears often, it appears seven times in the last chapter here. Little simple word, come. From our earliest days, we've been taught that word. That little girl, that little baby, learning to walk, daddy says, come to daddy. Mommy says, oh, no, come to mommy. We learn the word come. Eventually, the little one will obey. You know, as we grow older into this old world, there's many calls to come. You see that nurse and you say, my, she's got a great calling in life. She's been called, come and be a nurse. Come and be a doctor. Come and be an electrician. Come and be a driver. And we talk about the calling in life. We were drawn to it. In Revelation we read there, verse 7, verse 12, and verse 20. The Lord says, I come quickly. He's not calling here. He's making a statement. Now we know the word, what it means, that one day the Lord Jesus Christ will come again. Behold, I come quickly. That word behold means to pay attention. Take this seriously. I'm coming again. It's going to be a good day for some. It's going to be a good day for those that were prepared and waiting for the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fearful day for those that are not ready. And he says, behold, I come quickly. Pay attention. This is going to happen suddenly, as it was in the days of Noah. How did it happen in the days of Noah? Well, Noah and his wife and family were waiting. They got into the ark. The door was shut. They were waiting on the flood coming. But it tells us that the others were not waiting. They were busy. Yeah, they were busy. They were buying. They were selling. They were marrying. They were eating. They were drinking. Life was going on as normal. When the flood came, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, friend, there'll be those that are waiting and ready. Some will be waiting. Some will have read the signs and know that the coming of Christ is soon. But there'll be others. They'll be busy. They'll be going down to town to buy. There'll be the shopkeeper selling. There'll be those that go off to their work as usual with no thought of the coming of Christ. Then perhaps there'll be a wedding on and the bride and groom and the relatives and friends will all be getting ready for the wedding. There'll be others steeped in sin to be shut out of heaven. It says in verse 20, surely I come quickly. This is sure. Oh, you can ignore the truth. You can argue against the truth and say, well, there's been many years and the Lord hasn't come back. But he says, surely I will come. Behold, take this seriously. One day I will absolutely, definitely come. We can joke about it. We can laugh about it. We can lie about it. But it doesn't change the fact that God said his Son is coming back. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ did come once. He's coming again. Came the first time to Bethlehem, left the sinless glories of heaven, came down to this old sinful world. What a change it must have been. He lived a very humble life, lived a very holy life. He was sinless and he knew no sin. He did no sin. And yet with all, they took the Savior and they condemned him as a sinner. They took those feet that walked on the waters of Galilee and they nailed them to a tree. They took the hands that touched the sick and gave sight to the blind and they nailed them to the tree. The lips that spoke forgiveness were cold in death. The eyes that looked at Peter that night he betrayed the Savior were closed. The Lord Jesus died a cruel death, friend, for my sins and your sins. In my place condemned, he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. What a Savior. Yes, they buried him. They fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies, but up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ came forth and then he ascended into heaven. And we read in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, it said, "This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven." Now where's heaven? Heaven's upwards. It said he went up above the cloud. So this same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. God says it. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "If I go, I will come again, receive you unto myself." And the angels say, "He will come again in like manner." The Lord Jesus Christ has come the first time 2,021 years or so ago. And he will come the second time. If you're going on a journey, you've got to read the signs. We used to leave Ireland here and go up to Scotland to my wife's family, and my daughter would be there, and we would read the signs. We'd read Belfast, Dunrar, Perth, Stirling, until we came to Inverness. And as we go through life, the Bible tells us of signs. Signs of Christ's return. Matthew chapter 24 is the well-known passage for signs. It says, "In the last days there will be false teachers and false prophets, deceiving many." Oh, today we have people who claim that they can forgive sins. Only Jesus Christ forgives sins. We have churches that profess to be Bible-based, and yet withal they teach evolution. It goes on to say there'll be false teachers, false prophets, wars, rumors of wars. And then it says in Matthew 24, verse 6, "But the end is not yet. There'll be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. But these are the beginning of sorrows." It's not the end yet. We know what pestilence is like recently. A universal flood in Genesis. And today we have a universal pestilence in COVID. Antichrist will come, the man of sin, the son of perdition. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, it says every eye shall see him. Now there's things in the Revelation I don't understand, but I believe it. "And every knee shall bow before the Lord Jesus Christ." Oh my, when you know Christ is your Savior, you believe again in his coming. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ has come the first time. He's coming the second time. He's coming quickly. "And let him that heareth say, Come." Those that hear the gospel and know the Savior and have trusted him, we say, "Lord Jesus, come." You see, the child of God has a desire for God's coming, for the end of times. The person who reads the Bible and loves the Savior, born again of the Spirit of God, we have a desire for the coming of the Lord. We have a desire to meet the Savior. Now, when you know Christ as your Savior, and you're on your journey towards heaven and home, you have a desire to meet Christ, but you have a desire that others should be saved. That mother that gets saved wants her children to be in heaven. She wants her husband to go with her to heaven. That little boy that gets saved after Sunday school comes home and he longs for his mommy and daddy and granny and granda to know his Savior. Born again. Not only do we have a desire for others to be saved and a desire for Christ coming, but we have a hatred for sin. The Holy Spirit enters into the life and we have a hatred for sin and a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh friend, how can you love sin and love the Savior? How can you say you have the marks of holiness when you lie in sin, as we would say in Ireland, like a pig in muck? Little Stevie was standing at his grandfather's bed and the family were all gathered around the bed. Grandfather was an old godly man and he'd been ill for some time. They're gathering around the bed for Granda's last few moments. And then suddenly Granda sat up in bed and he put his arms out. And he said, "The Lord Jesus has come for me." And he lay back and he breathed no more. That old man, he desired to be with Christ. But he also desired that his family should be saved from sin and saved from hell. When we come to the end of this chapter, the end of this book, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us a wonderful illustration of being saved and being ready that death should come, that we will be with our Savior. Revelation 22, verse 17. "And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Friend, there's salvation. The little word that you learned as an infant, just come. Come. God's salvation is likened to a person that's thirsty and they're a longing for a drink of water. God's salvation is likened unto a person who has realized that they're a sinner and they need the Lord Jesus to cleanse them from their sin. Where will they go to get cleansing? Yes, water cleanses. Water satisfies the thirst. Oh, we have so many with a dreadful thirst of sin. The thirst of alcohol, the thirst of drugs, the thirst of money, the thirst of possessions, the thirst of this world, and all those things that this world sets before us. So little thirst for the Savior. Oh, we must be careful with contaminated water. Some time ago we were in Liberia. And they had a lovely well in the pump there, and the man says, "Don't drink that water because there's a parasite in it. It's not good to drink the water." We have to be careful with the water of life that we drink today. There's places and they have contaminated water. They say a man can forgive sins. No, Christ alone forgives sins. They say there is greater books than the Bible. No, the Bible is the greatest book. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And it's the Bible, it's the Word of God that will guide us into all truth. Our God has provided the well of fresh water in Christ Jesus. His Son, our Savior, the one who cleanses, the one who quenches the thirst. Ah, but it must be for you and me. Personal. Yes, he provided it all, but it's very personal. My father can't drink water for me. My mother can't drink water for me. My children can't drink water on my behalf. I must drink for myself. Yeah, their parents can tell you of your Savior. But the preacher can preach about the Savior, but you must be born again yourself. The missionary goes out to the children. They must be born again. I see that day we were in Uganda and there comes down the children to the well and we begin to pump the water and they drink, they wash their faces, they pour water over themselves. One or two adults came forward, they got a little drink, but some adults didn't come forward. They were too proud. They said it's too humbling to kneel down and drink the water. Friend, you must come individually. You must set your pride to the one side. You must come and be born again. You're born individually. You live in an individual life. You die an individual. You stand before God as an individual. There's a path to salvation. Just in there in Africa, as that little path leads up to the well, so there's a path to Christ. the path of repentance. Oh, when you feel thirsty for the Savior, I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home. You need, and you feel, you need a wash. Your sins are dirty. You need forgiveness. God's forgiveness. Those little children came up, they washed. They weren't ashamed to wash. They weren't ashamed to drink. The dirt of life was gone. The thirst was quenched. Some years ago, I was working with my dad. We were cutting trees. And I said to him, is there any water, Dad? He says, no, come on with me. And he took me down to a little well at the corner of the field, and there was an old cracked cup. And we dipped the cup in, and we drank, and we poured the water over ourselves, and it was beautiful. Friend, that water was attractive. It was fresh. It was refreshing. It was cleansing. It was continual. You say, how much do I pay for this water? Friend, it's free. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. God's salvation costs too much for you and I to buy. It's free. It's free. Jesus paid it all. And there's plenty of it. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. There's no rationing of God's salvation. Sometimes in Ireland here, they ration the water. But salvation's not rationed. The Lord Jesus Christ comes, and it's a gift of God that is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Oh, friend, the water of life. Attractive, washing, freshing, cleansing, renewing. The vilest sinner here may come. Salvation now is free, for Christ has finished all the work upon the shameful tree. Come, sinners, now, whoever will, and taste the life-giving stream. Wells of salvation here abound, and ever flow from him. I recommend the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior. Let's pray. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of the glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. O God, that thy word may go forth today in power, that the Spirit of God might take these few thoughts and write them in the hearts of poor lost sinners, that men and women might bow and trust Christ as their Savior, whom to know is life eternal. Washed, cleansed, refreshed, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.